And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. So we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts. We travel to understand the things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. Wasn't that fun, Dynamite D? That was a lot of fun. Don't worry, it's okay. First chapter 18 in the Book of Acts recounts Paul's departure from Athens and his return to Corinth. It's about 49 AD. So if you're trying to keep track, Acts 18 is about 49 AD. It is during this time that he encounters Priscilla and Aquila, who become strong friends and allies for Paul. Witnessing how the Lord leads us to individuals, listen. Witnessing how the Lord leads you and I to individuals who provide refreshment and strengthening after various trials and troubles is truly amazing. It's a gift from God. If the Lord's brought somebody into your life after you've gone through some tough or while you're going through stuff, that's a gift from God. The scripture also sheds light on Priscilla and Aquila's background, revealing they were expelled from their previous residence due to their belief in Jesus as Jewish people. What's particularly fascinating is the deep connection between Paul and this couple as they share the occupation of tent makers. The presence of common ground proves to be a powerful tool in fostering fellowship and mutual support amongst believers. And finally, Paul demonstrates great diligence as he consistently visits the synagogues, preaching and testifying week after week. And while some people that I know, that you know, that sometimes I do it, sometimes you do it, there's a fear in engaging in sharing about things of the Lord, the truth is testifying for the Lord simply involves telling what God has done. The power lies in God, not in us speaking. You don't have to be an eloquent orator. You don't have to be a fantastic speaker, a brilliant person. You just need to trust that God will work through your words.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show. Nothing bad will happen that we know of. Just call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking to Dynamite D, well, that's like the same feeling you get when you talk to Dynamite D. It's the same feeling you get when you're being appreciated for something you do.
Always a good feeling.
It's a good feeling, right? All right. So let's make it super simple for everybody, because super simple is about my speed. All right. If you've got a prayer request and you want to share it and you just need other people praying for you, call us. Let's pray about it. If you've got a praise report and you just don't really know how to share it, not sure what to do, call. We'll get you through it. We'll walk you through. We get through everybody through everything because that's the goal. The goal is to lift up one another, to bless one another, okay? It's not just to receive. It's also to give. In fact, it's more blessed to give than receive. Well, that's you too. you get to participate and give in this capacity. I'm not talking financial. I'm talking of your life, of your time, of your effort, of your experiences. We also do Bible trivia, which we're going to get to in a second. But here's what I want you to catch. We did the beginning of this show, and the sound was off because we didn't take a break, and da-da-da-da-da. So what? I mean, how could that possibly matter? You know what matters? Getting one step closer to Jesus. That's what matters. Getting more of God in our lives. That's what matters. We keep thinking that we think we know all the priorities because, listen, I have the same thing you have on a regular basis. I have car payments. I have rent because we don't even own our house. We've been in our house almost 6 years. We've been renting for 6 years. We're thinking that's crazy. It's what the Lord wants right now. It's what we're doing. We have utility bills, which are outrageous. Just say that real fast. And then we have all the other stuff that everybody has to do. There's no difference. And here's the one thing I know about all this stuff I'm going through. 75 years from now, I will never think about one of those things again. How about that? But 75 years from now, I will still be dancing on streets of gold. See that difference? So now, what's important, right? That's the real priority. And that's exactly what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount, by the way, all right? Here you go with your first trivia question. It's kind of an interesting one, so you got to think. I want you to think about this, but don't get upset. Just consider it. Which of the four Gospels is not considered a synoptic gospel? Which of the four Gospels is not considered a synoptic gospel? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is calling in, and I will make this easier for a lot of people. What does it mean, synoptic? It means to see the same. So out of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which one doesn't see it quite the same as everybody else sees it, so to speak? Hopefully that will help you get closer to the answer. We do have somebody ready to answer the trivia question, and we will give them that chance. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, this is Eric.
Hey, Eric. How are you?
Just fine. And I was thinking, first of all, I was going to say Happy Friday. But it's Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what happens if you have surgery on your shoulder and your wife has foot surgery and the both of you are just sitting there celebrating your 37th anniversary, both wounded and together but laughing. That's pretty good.
I was trying to get ahead of you guys and say, working for the weekend, but I'm like 24 hours way ahead of time.
I'll be thinking that way tomorrow about 2:20.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I want to say welcome to all of our brothers and sisters out there in San Diego who switched over to hemustincrease.com. It's a great radio station, great website to get a lot of information from, and we really feel like we can be really connected even more so together, the California and Texas and all the people that can hear in all the other states, the radio station, I just want to welcome them, and it's great to have you guys on listening.
Amen. Amen. And it's hemustincrease.org. We just want to make sure we tell people that.
Good. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, because then you bring it up again, and I get to repeat it. And see, repetition in radio, that's power. See, that's how that works.
Yeah. I'll just keep my mouth zipped.
No.
I get the trivia question right.
I love that you did that. And here's why. Because people do that. They go to hemustincrease.com, and it's like, wrong number. And so your site doesn't work. It's like, well, not on that address.
Sorry about that, folks. Don't listen to me.
No worries, my brother. No worries. All right. You will get this, Eric. You are much wiser than you give yourself credit for, but so much more of a blessing than you also give yourself credit for. So let's give you the opportunity. Which gospel is not considered one of the synoptic gospels?
Well, that'd be our Apostle John.
That is correct, Emmanuel! You see, you know exactly what's going on. And here's the thing where people need to understand. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a whole bunch of togetherness. Then you go into John's gospel and you go, what? It's like, where's this guy writing from? But remember, he is the guy that wrote Revelation, so you kind of get a clue. It's like, oh, yeah, this guy's different planet altogether.
Oh, yeah. In the beginning was the Word.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Love it. Love it. Excellent job, and thank you for welcoming everybody, and that was very, very gracious of you to do. And this is the kind of engagement and fellowship that we love, and we hope that we can just make it larger and larger. That's our goal.
Well, happy Friday early.
Thank you. Thank you for the early Friday blessings, by the way.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. God bless. Bye-bye. Eric is such a, he's just a delight.
He's just a delight,
brother. All right, so, well, we're not going to, so did that throw you off because we didn't take
this?
Yeah,
well, what it was, you know, I hate messing up, but it, like you said the other day, no perfect show, I guess, but what it
That's
was
right.
was on the, when we didn't take that break, I forgot to go in the system and delete it.
Ah.
So I was playing the commercials as if we were heading into the first break.
Got it. All right, well, get ready because we're not going to take a break on this one either.
And I really, oh, and I like that they're doing that in us.
Yeah, so what we decided to do, and just so you guys can follow this, is we've decided to not follow anything.
But God.
Let me rephrase that. We're not going to do anything exactly this. We'll just go with the flow. We'll do the best we can, and we hope you guys do the same thing. And I understand some people are like, well, no, I want it to be very structured. I get that. We have a lot of structure in the show, and we have a lot of things that are not structured. So that's kind of part of the show. And we hope you like it. We hope it's a blessing for you. But that doesn't mean that we're going to be shy on the Word of God, and that's the biggest part of what we do is – we know where the faith is. We know where the faith comes from. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And because of that, we know that we need to be in. We have an expression. Some people don't like it, but it's okay. You got to keep your BFN in the book. What's that? Your big fat nose. Like, you can't say that. Guess what? Keep your nose in the book. You need to be spending time in the Word of God. Every time you do that, remember, the scripture, all scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16. That means that when you're reading the scripture, the breath of God that went into the scripture is breathing on you. What happened to Adam when the breath of God went into him? He became alive. That's what we're talking about, right? That's why as much as we can talk, as much as we fellowship, we know where our faith comes from, where our point is, and we'll never move from this. God created the universe. He can write a book. You don't like it, we get it, but it's still true, so it doesn't change anything. Now, I want to talk about this next section because it is so amazing. We're right at Acts chapter 18, and I want to talk about this because it's there's a personal element to it, but there's a very important element for all of us to use, and I want you to consider everybody who's ever had any contact with their show or anybody that you've had contact with in the last 5 years and think of it in these terms, and let me read it from what Paul had to say. Or what the Holy Spirit had to say about Paul as it was written by Luke, actually. Acts chapter 18, verse 1. Then Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla. They had been expelled from Italy as a result of Claudius Caesar's order to deport all the Jews. Here's the thing, okay? Listen to what I'm going to tell you. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the last 5 years of your life. I'm only going back 5 years because it's the easiest target for me. How many people has God brought into your life that you have become acquainted with that has changed you? How powerful. And it's not just people on this show and stuff. I'm trying to give you this broader, the mastery and the grace and the wisdom of God in bringing people into our lives at certain times and in certain ways, certain methodologies. Sometimes you wouldn't even think that that's how you would connect to somebody. Sometimes you connect to somebody, you get your car fixed. It's like you meet somebody, it's like they give you this word, encouraging word. You go to a restaurant, somebody leaves, the waitress leaves a little thing, praise the Lord, or, be strong in faith. Any little thing, you walk into a store and you see somebody's t T-shirt, and that T-shirt says faith over fear, and they don't even know you. You don't know them, but the Lord quickens your spirit, and you go, yowts, I need that right now. Right now. How many times has the Lord brought people into your lives? Not just, and again, I want to say it, not just like this, it's cool that you guys do it because we've done it for the last 5 years, but think of the broader context of this. God is continually arranging these connections. Now, I've had the privilege to talk to some people one-on-one after the show, plus the privilege of talking to a lot of people during the show. And we've had, and there every time we've done it, everything has been, you know, I mean, maybe I would say 2 out of 2,000 were like, right? If people don't want to fellowship with you because you think differently on a subject. I find that bizarre. But that's okay. That's just me. That's my take. That's where I come from. Because I think, you know, the blood of Christ is greater than that. But what I'm trying to communicate to you is this moment here, which seems like such a little thing, is a big thing. It gets even bigger when you get into the whole context that Priscilla and Aquila, they are, Aquila and Priscilla, they are tent makers like Paul. And so people don't recognize. So God has given them some commonality, right? There's some connection. So Paul's a tent maker, and they're tent makers. And so now they're connecting. And then through work, there's this amazing connection. And now they're making this bigger ministerial connection. These are the things that the Lord does. And you think, well, I don't have that happen in work. But it doesn't always happen the same for everybody in the same place all the time. But it happens all the time, right? So I'm just going to use Joanne and Cordelia as an example just because they're readily in at my mind. But they have a doctor. They go to this one particular doctor. They're all Christians there. I mean, what a blessing, right? You go into a doctor's place, and everybody's a believer, and you already know you're a believer. You don't have to guard your words. You can just be a believer. Oh, that's nice, right? And what I'm trying to say is, you see, those things that seem like so insignificant, they're not insignificant. They're designed. God designs this stuff. Dynamite D, before he came here, I don't know what he's doing. He's, I mean, you've been here almost a year? When is it?
About a year, Dave. And it's funny you use me because I was thinking about us as an example. I was like, how cool is this? Like, you're way in California years back. I'm over here. And it's like, at this appointed time, we mesh.
Exactly. And so that's the exact point. The point is that you could be in one place, somebody else could be in another place, and there's this coordination, for the lack of a better term. And people are like, well, how do you get that in the word? I'll read it again, and then you'll see. See, Paul left Athens. Okay, so he leaves Athens. He does the Mars Hill preach, right? And he went to Corinth, right? Okay, this Corinth. Now, we know about Corinth because we've been doing the letter there. Then he became acquainted with a Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently arrived from Italy with his wife Priscilla, and they had been expelled from Italy as a result of Claudius Caesar's order to deport all the Jews from Rome. They connect. They're coming from different cities. One is coming from Athens, right? And they go to Corinth. The other one's coming from Italy. They go to Corinth. It's like, guess what? There's a common rock named Jesus that they're both going to get rest on. It's like, what? We're going to see more of Aquila and Priscilla later on, but it's worth noting. And then the very next section, it says this. It says, after they were expelled from Rome, Paul lived and worked with them, for they were tent makers just as he was. So look at verse 3. You see, now Paul lived with them. So people are like, well, did they have a house? Probably. Maybe. I don't know. It's pretty sure. You can pull that out from the other text that they're in. You can say that. And we would say, yes, they do have a house, because there's actually, now that I think about it, there's another text that talks about their house. So Paul's hanging out with them. They're doing the same business. He's staying there. These guys are impacting one another. And if you think that I'm just out here impacting people, Dynamite D impacts me. All of you people impact me. Don impacts me. Talks to me. He has a different flavor on different things. I told him one time, I said, dude, I said, I'd teach radio in 100 stations in 100 cities before I'd ever own a single one. I said I would never own one. He just looked at me and smiled. Why? Do you know what kind of
things you've got to jump through to own a station. If somebody doesn't like you, they make a report. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I would never. If they don't like me, I'd just say, turn it off. He owns the station. It's different. So what I'm trying to say is, you see all these different things. Everybody's saying, but that impacts me. He's willing to do that. He's willing to step out on that place and do those kind of things. This is what I'm talking about. And you think, well, Dave, you're kind of just talking versus teaching. Yeah, because this is an important point. The important point is you need to understand that God brings people into your lives for a reason. And it doesn't have to be that every time you're brought into somebody's life, it's going to last 1600 years. Let's not. You could be in somebody's life for a year, for 6 months, for 2 weeks. I saw a preacher one time preach. He was like an evangelist, preach. He left. I still remember his message. I never even met him personally. I just had 45 to, I'd say 55 minutes of hearing him speak, and it changed part of my heart. That's what I'm talking about. Or when somebody gets prayed for, or somebody shares a testimony, or anything like that. And why I'm bringing this up is because this is the fight for fellowship. This is the fight to take care of one another. This is the fight. Because we don't realize that God has brought these gifts called his people into our lives. And we don't treat them like gifts. And they are. I mean, they're gifts. So I think of all the things, not just the people that have given. I've had somebody who's just not in that position, but they send me an email or a message every, I don't know, about 3 months, just saying, I just love you, thank you, appreciate it, da-da-da-da-da. It's just like, that just is such a blessing.
Dave, isn't that what the faith is about at its core? Like,
it's if we could, it's just you could do this one thing, John 13:34-35, right? Love, new commandment I give you. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you, which is much more powerful than you loving your neighbor as yourself. So I mean, the way that Jesus loves us is much, much more dramatic. He said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples. That would be, see, that with oh.
That is so good.
What a witness, right? Well, that's what Jesus said. Hey, you want to witness for me? I have an idea. It's like, love one another. And so you're thinking, oh, this is crazy. It's like, no, this is what I'm passionately trying to tell you this. I'm passionately trying to tell you because even if it's not this show, even if the show stops tomorrow, okay, I don't think it will, although I'm not God, so it's not up to me. This is still true. And this is true in your church, and this is true in your fellowship groups, and this is true in any kind of group you're in. I mean, this is what you got to think of. The most famous parable of all is the one about the Good Samaritan. It's like the most well-known, that and the prodigal son. But the one about the Good Samaritan, what does God do? He brings this wounded person into this Samaritan's life. And that person is then loved by the Samaritan, and the Samaritan helps. And it's just like, that's, who's your neighbor? Everybody God brings into your life, man. That's your neighbor. I mean, there you go.
And that ties right back to them. Brought Paul and them right into each other's life.
I love it. It's powerful. So like Noah, who's my, I'll just tell you this now. Noah's been listening to the show the other day, and he was my original guy, my original producer. And he's just like, love it. Just so glad you're back in San Diego. But it's like, that's so good. I mean, what a blessing. God set that up. I mean, God did that. We've encouraged each other. All the way through, right up until I lent him the movie Paycheck and he forgot to get it back to me for 9 months. Anyway, that's besides the point. The point is, it's a joke between him and I. See, 'cause he kept that movie and I kept saying, it's the greatest movie ever. Greatest movie ever as soon as you return it. Anyhow, so my point is, love one another passionately, deeply. So when we talk about this August Buddies thing, this is, you know, part of this. So you need to listen. You need to hear about people who call. You need to be aware of what they're going through. You need to tag on to that and make that a part of your life so that your life does not consist of everything you. I have lived my life, everything consisting of me. I'm not doing it perfectly the other way, by the way, but I have done it fully me. And you know what? It doesn't work as good. I'm not nearly as connected to Jesus as I am now. And now it's just like, yeah, whatever the Lord wants. right? That's why I love live radio. Who cares? You got to hit the ins and outs the best you can, but you know what you got to do? You got to look at this passage in Acts 18, 1, 2, and 3 and go, wow, because that's what that is. You got to look at that and go, wow, thank you, Jesus, for all the people you've brought into my life. Thank you for your love for me that you support me so much. That's what you got to do, all right? So we've cleared out that one thing. We're going to go to our break. That's what we're going to do. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit, whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Do you think it's been, organization leadership has been a good thing for church leaders?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a penetrating question. The answer is very simple. If used correctly to add value to people and serve others, it's a good thing. If used incorrectly, it's not a good thing. And, you know, when people talk about everything rises and falls on leadership, I teach them often that it rises, but it also falls. And nothing is better than for people to have a good leader, and nothing's worse than for people to have a bad leader. And to me, what makes servant leadership work is this. Most leaders put themselves first before their people. And so it is a me motivation as far as leading. What's in it for me? I travel internationally with my company, Equip. And in fact, I'll leave Sunday for Guatemala. In fact, I'll be meeting next week with the president and the cabinet of Guatemala. And when I'm with these leaders alone, David... Alone. I mean, no handlers, no media, nothing, but just alone. The question I ask them, which is, I think, the true servant leadership question, is, will the people be better off after you've served your term as a leader than they were before you got there?
Wow.
And I think that's, and when the answer is yes, you have been a good leader, it has been a good thing. Organizational leadership, good thing. When the answer is no, bad leader, bad thing.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for our next trivia question. And this one should be one that most people get. In what chapter of the book of Acts is Saul's conversion? In what chapter of the book of Acts is Saul's conversion? What chapter of the book of Acts? 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. Also, you can send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. So if you look it up in your Bible, that's cool. Don't Google it. We don't really, if you need to Google it, that's fine.
It's like cheating almost.
Well, I know, but you should know, you got to know these things. Where did what chapter was it when he got saved? That's important stuff. What chapter in the book of Acts is Saul's conversion? So it's before he's Paul. He's still called Saul. It's in the book of Acts. We're not talking about Saul the king. We're talking about Saul who became Paul. There you go. You just got to kind of nail it down. All right, so we give you that opportunity. I do want to mention two other things. One, please check out the different things on the website. Like I said, Rosalind put in a little cartoon. I'm still figuring out some of the cartoon stuff, so just, you know, there's always something really weird on the site. Just smile and check it out. But don't forget about the giving part, and we really think this is important in order for us to advance and go into this other city like we're doing in San Diego and to go into other future cities, you know, like Phoenix or Denver or Detroit or stuff like that. I'm just saying, to do that, we're going to need a lot of partnership. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I can just see it, Dave, by the grace of God.
We'll see what happens. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Make sure you honor God with what you have. Again, if you can't give here, we don't have a problem with that. We want you to stay committed to us and connected to us and join us by prayer. Join in my struggle for me by praying for me, Paul said, Romans 15:30. But also, if you can't give, do that too. Because that's kind of cool, too. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
That's right. Can't touch this. I love that one. Okay, once more on the triv question, and then we're going to do DNA, and then we'll do the history on the backside of it. What chapter of the book of Acts is Saul's conversion? Saul's conversion. What chapter of the book of Acts? Think about where did he get saved? You know, Damascus Road experience thingy there. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Let's do our DNA, very foundational to who we are. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Okay. Every day that ends in Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, ever, 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 ever be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed of what he had to say. Well, how do you know that what he had to say is what he had to say? If you believe Jesus is the Messiah and that God created the universe and Jesus Christ became a man, you can believe he wrote a book. I mean, come on. So then A is always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. OPM, other people matter. What does that mean? That means that exactly what we talked about for 15 minutes in the last segment. Other people matter. Matter. If you take that on and live that the way that Jesus designed us to and wants us to, then in doing that, we will not only fulfill the law that's before us, that's the New Testament process, we will reflect Jesus. This is like, I want to do that. Right. That's what we want to do. All right. Somebody is ready to answer a trivia question, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Tom.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you.
All right. Here we go. You ready for this one? This is a good one. Here we go.
Yes.
What chapter of the book of Acts is Saul's conversion?
Oh, that is none other than the great chapter, chapter 9 of Acts.
That is correct, Vanessa! You are 100% correct. It is Acts chapter 9, a significant pivotal, I mean, obviously a pivotal point, but one of the great things there is that Saul, who was a destroyer of the church, after God gets a hold of him, becomes a builder of the church.
Yes, indeed.
Awesome. Excellent job. Very, very good. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye. All right. Great job. Great job. Great job. Acts chapter 9. Pivotal. Pivotal. Remember, he was a destroyer, and then he became a builder. God took what nobody thought could turn around, not only turned him around, but he became a powerful entity in the establishment of the church.
That was a nice new collar on that curia.
Yeah, that's very nice. Very nice. Greatly appreciated. Really appreciate it. Call back anytime. We love it. All right. Now, get ready, because we might not take a break here, and there's some ferocious teaching coming up. So, you know how we were only nice and all that stuff, and I did that? That's over. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 18, verse 4. Each Sabbath, Paul found at the synagogue, trying to convince the Jews and the Greeks alike. And after Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul spent his full time preaching and testifying to the Jews, telling them, the Messiah you are looking for is Jesus. Get that? I'm just making sure everybody sees. I don't want anybody to miss this, right? Okay. Each Sabbath found Paul at the synagogue trying to convince the Jews and the Greeks alike. And after Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul spent his full time preaching and testifying to the Jews, telling them the Messiah you're looking for is Jesus. I find it amazing that Paul was active, right? Now just follow this sequence, and this will tell you how human, how the Lord is trying to teach us about that he interacts with human beings. So here's Paul. What's he doing with Aquila and Priscilla? What was he doing prior? He's a tent maker, right? Verse 3. They were all tent makers. He was a tent maker. They were tent makers. They were working it together, right? All right. Every Sabbath, Paul is going in there going, do-do-do-do-do, here it is the truth. Then Timothy and Silas come down. So what happens now after they come down? Well, that Paul's not going to do tent making right now. Right now, he's just going to go full-time into blasting away on what it is that the Lord wants him to do there. So Paul did full-time here, part-time here, full-time here, part-time here. You mean it can be different for different people? It can be different for the same person in 10 different ways. Stop telling God how to do stuff, okay? God doesn't, oh, I got to do this full-time, Lord. You'll do it full-time when I tell you to do it full-time. I got to do this part-time, Lord. You'll do it part-time when I tell you to do it full part-time. You see, what we try to do is tell everybody how to do it. It's like, that's not how it goes. Even Paul, full-time, part-time, full-time, part-time. It's like whatever was happening, that's what the Lord was doing. So Timothy and Silas come down, and now Paul's spending all of his time, and what's he doing? He's telling them, the Messiah that you are looking for is Jesus. I am so, I mean, it's 45 years a Christian, exhausted from everybody telling me, about, and don't misunderstand, I'm making a very strong distinction, don't misunderstand, telling me how bad the church is, okay, and therefore what? Jesus himself is bad? Let's just identify something. The church is a mess, but it's God's mess. He loves the church, and just be careful when you're talking about the church, because you could be talking about somebody that God is very tender towards and loves. Now, you can be mean to me all day long. You mean to my wife, you just stepped into a whole nother realm, a whole nother element. You want to be mad at God, yell at God, yell all you want. You start talking about his bride. You see how that works? And you think, well, I know, but Dave, the church is a mess. You're right, it is a mess. But you know where Jesus is in the book of Revelation? In the middle of the church. He's in the middle of the candlesticks. So here, watch this. Paul is now, he's doing his thing, and he's telling people, look, let's understand something right off the bat. What you are looking for, who you are looking for, is Jesus. Now, you will have great and not great church interactions. That will happen. But you know what you're looking for? Let me just tell you right now. You, as a Christian, Jesus. You know what the non-believer is looking for? Jesus. You know what the person who doesn't know what they're looking for is looking for? Jesus. Who are you looking for? Jesus. And see, people get irritated when they say, oh, I believe in God, but don't start talking to me about Jesus. That person, there's a lot of problem right there. That person, they're certainly not a Christian. You don't have to, it's not hard. A Christian, it's not even hard to define a Christian. One who follows Christ. Okay. It's like, that's it. It's not complex. You can't be a Christian without Jesus. So, I mean, it's just like bizarro, right? Everything Paul was telling them, the Jews and the Greeks, what you're looking for in your life is Jesus. And what people keep doing is they keep thinking, well, I need this, or I need this. I need scrapbooking. I need this. I need to host this, do this, be this. You need Jesus. You think, well, I have Jesus. You need more of Jesus. Well, I have a lot of Jesus. Well, get more of Jesus. And people think, well, are you trying to tell me that it's all about Jesus? Yes. Just going to make this as clear as we can. Right? No glory is going to, no flesh is going to glory in his presence. And you don't have enough of Jesus. And you want to know how I can tell you don't have enough of Jesus? Because you think you have enough of Jesus. That's how. We need more of him in our lives. We need not less, more of him. We need him in our lives on a all the time basis. And so I just love that Paul says, and it's just a great line. I'd love to make it as a bumper sticker, right? The Messiah you're looking for is Jesus. Just put this on a bumper sticker. What you're looking for is Jesus. What a great bumper sticker. Because people are looking for stuff all the time, right? You're looking for Jesus. Okay. I want to hold that thought there, okay? We're going to do one more trivia question. We're not going out. We're going to stay here. We're going to do another trivia question, then come back and talk about the rest of this, because you think I'm done?
I was about to say, Dave, no commercial.
We're not. We're just going to do it. We're doing a quickie. This is a pretty good one. This is a little challenging, right? So we'll give people an opportunity. Okay, as we understand the scripture, as we understand the New Testament breakdown, so you hear what I said right there, as we understand it, and I'm talking about with absolute surety, which epistle, which is not the wife of an apostle, it is a letter, which epistle is generally considered the last epistle of Paul in the order of the current New Testament books? Which one's the last one that Paul wrote? Not time-wise, okay? I understand time-wise. That's going to be 2 Timothy for those that don't know. But for the fact of the matter, in order, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, just keep going, right? What is the last book that or letter that Paul wrote that we know was Paul's in that order, in that current structure in the New Testament? Does that make sense? You can look it up in your book, in contents. You look up in the what your New Testament, like the contents, or, you know, just look it up. It's right there. Why am I saying that? Because there's one book that goes 50-50 on whether it's Paul or not. It's like, well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about with surety.
I know that book.
All right, there we go. All right. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? Got that going? All right. So I will give you a little break. So I want to make sure you understand. So in the order of the current New Testament, the I don't know if you want to say evangelical. You can say Protestant New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, right? Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Okay, finish all the way. What's the last one in that order that is Paul's for sure? Okay, that's all I'm saying. that's actually a very good question, I think. It's kind of a challenge.
I think it is a pretty good one.
All right. In the meantime, we are going to do history, and then we're going to come back to the teaching. Let's do history song real fast. Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in. All right, today is Lazy Day, which I think is every day. So I'm not sure what that means. Lazy Day, I mean, every day that ends with Y. We're talking about the other stuff. Today is Paul Bunyan Day. For those who don't know about Paul Bunyan, the great fantasy that we
cutting down a tree.
Yeah, he's a big legend. He's a huge giant. You don't know anything
Michigan,
about Paul?
Right?
Yeah, or Minnesota. I can't remember.
One of the two.
Well, yeah, something like that. It's World Lion Day. Not lying, lion. Like a lion, like rawr, lion,
oh, lion.
So you got to say that differently. 1793, the Louvre opens to the public as a museum. That's could be interesting if you care about that. Additionally, 1948, Candid Camera made its debut. Do you know what Candid Camera is? That's just like people wouldn't know they were on camera, and they go, "Ah, you're on camera." All right. 1990, the Magellan space probe reached the planet Venus. And let's see if there's anything else to really say. Oh, this is just the weirdest history. I don't want anybody to get offended at this. I just thought it was bizarre. After playing 49 straight hours of the video game StarCraft, Lee Seup died from exhaustion. So that just tells you video games can kill you. Okay? There you go. That's proof. All right. If somebody's ready to answer a trivia question, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, this is John. How are you?
John, you know, I was wondering about you, so I'm really glad you called. Just want to see how it's going, but I'm going to give you the trivia stuff first because it's toughy, and then you can give us an update and tell us what's going on. So how are you doing, though? I mean, personally, you doing all right?
Oh, all right. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, just,
hanging in there?
Trying to handle everything in our extended family.
Yeah.
Situation. You know.
I know. I want you to share it. So let's do this real fast. Let's do the trivia question, and then we'll go into what's going on with you. So technically, with surety, what's the last epistle that's in order in the New Testament, the Protestant New Testament, that Paul wrote?
Philemon?
That is correct, Amundo, sir! Excelente! That's really good because, see, Hebrews is like, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. So it's kind of like iffy. And personally, I'm not going to say I do or don't believe it. Just, you know, there's no, and then everything after that, Hebrews on is typically called a general epistle. So Philemon would have been the last Paulinian epistle. Excellent job there. Very, very good catch. All right.
Good.
Now, give us an update on you, family, Nola. We got people praying on a regular basis, but I just want to know. How is Nola doing?
Well, she's still basically at St. Jude's, and they took her outside. They have a rode around in a golf cart kind of thing, and just got her outside.
Hey, John, turn down your radio just a little bit because you can hear that echo.
Let me go in there. Okay, sorry.
That's okay. That's all right.
Little feedback, huh?
Okay, yeah, there you go. Okay, thank you, brother. All right, go ahead. So they took her on a golf cart and did what?
So, you know, she had her oxygen tank and everything, you know, but they just took her outside and kind of rode around a little bit just to kind of get her out of the hospital surrounding, you know. And this was after... This is not in chronological order. My wife and I went up there... 2 weeks ago, and we, you know, went into the hospital room where she is, and we saw her in person, and you know, she just didn't look anything like she used to, and but, you know, it's okay. So, but that was at St. Jude's, and then we came home, and but then we heard that they'd giving her some fresh air, I guess you'd say.
Right.
Yeah.
Change of venue for a little bit to give her a break.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's the last we've heard. So just keep praying, I guess.
Yeah, no, and I want to pray for her right now. I want to pray for her and her folks and for you and for your wife. And because it's hard, man. I mean, you can't do this by yourself, brother. I mean, you just need people praying.
Oh, it takes a family.
Yeah.
It really does.
No question about it. Let's pray. I want to pray over you, and I want to pray over Nola. So,
all right, sure. Thank you.
Father, we come before you right now. You look upon our hearts. You know exactly what we're feeling here. I mean, John's level of frustration and just desire for this to be better, and that's probably not even matched by the parents, and that's probably not, you know, it's just as brutal as it can be. And we just ask you, first and foremost, that you would pour yourself out upon Nola physically, bring healing into her life. Lord, you can do this, and we ask you, I don't care what the rules are, Lord, just in the name of Jesus, bring healing into Nola's life. Bring that spark, bring that hope, bring that revival, restoration, that physical touch from your spirit to raise her body up. Please, please touch her. I mean, just for her sake, for our sake, for your kid's sake, for your name's sake, touch her. And Lord, not just for her, but for the parents. They need as much strength and grace as can be given. And for John and his wife and for their whole family, that there would be a spirit of comfort amongst them, a sense of confidence and a peace that comes from you that makes no sense, but it's there because it comes from you. We just ask you in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would touch this young girl. Touch Nola. Yeah. And Lord, let us testify. We will. Let us testify. Bring your healing power into her life in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Whew. Good prayer, as usual.
Yeah, brother, my pain, it's not at your level, but I share with you, and we all want to take some of it so you don't have to bear it all. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Yeah. That means a lot, David.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we love you,
and
brother.
I have to admit that I started at the back of my Bible. I've got a J. Vernon McGee Bible, and he puts a little outline at the front of the books, and so I'm just kind of going from the back to the, you know, went past Hebrews because he has a question mark there on who the author was. So then the next one was Philemon. Ah, that's got to be it.
That's got to be it.
It's got to be it.
That's a great way to figure it out. That's Hebrews is a pivotal point where people are like, we're not really sure. And then, you know, right. It just goes into what they call the general epistles. And then it's like, okay. So Philemon was just a great way to set it up. And that's why they put it in that order. It's like, oh, that makes sense. You know, it's like.
Yeah. A little pragmatic there.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Excellent job, brother.
Yeah, thank you. All right. I'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Yeah, keep us posted. Anytime you need to text me as well, you can do that. You're free to do that. Okay.
Yes, thank you.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So you should know. I mean, that's what you got. You got that prayer. Look, we just talked about 20 minutes ago and how God brings people into your lives. Now you've just heard from John and you've heard about Nola, and it's like, you got to take that on.
You know, Dave, we love Brother John, so we're praying for him, and we're all trying to carry that burden with him because we know that's very tough.
Yeah, it's hard. You got to, you know, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's just the command, okay? So that's just how that goes. Okay, so we're going to finish off. We only got like 2 or 3 minutes, and there's no anything else to go into. So I just want to look at verse 6. I just want to point this out, and this is really important for you to understand, for me to understand as Christians. Verse 6, it says, but when the Jews opposed him and insulted him, Paul shook the dust off his robe and said, your blood be upon your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles. This is a nice way of saying, hey, I gave you what I got. I gave you the best I could. You don't want it? Okay, you're on your own. There is a point, and this is not like you think you're, well, is that true for your family members? No. This is people that consistently and deliberately deny Jesus Christ. And they do it purposefully, right? And it's like, okay, well, you're on your own. Figure it out, right? I mean, that at some point, that does happen. Family members, you never stop praying for family. How could you stop praying for family? Your family is your life, and the Lord brought you into that family for a purpose. You keep praying. You keep petitioning. You keep seeking and asking God to help. But there is a point where when people just keep insulting and throwing it back in your face, you go, all right, well, you know what? And how he said it is, I don't want to say it's mean, but if somebody said this in the church, it would be on the news of every in front of every paper, where you're just like, your blood be upon your own heads. And we interpret it that way, but it means something much worse. Okay, I'm just trying to be nice and let people know. It's like, your blood be upon your own head. Bye. It's like you're on your own. And so there is this point where people just keep insulting you. It's like, okay, bye, see ya. You know that there is a classic line in this. So you do want to be praying for people. You don't want to jump to that place too quickly. At least Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to know when to do that. But look, if the Christians are all wrong, there's no problem for anybody. If the Christians are all right, there's going to be a lot of problems for a lot of people. And that's just the truth. And our bet, just so you can be honest about it, is on Jesus. And their bet is no. Well, we know we're right, but we hope they change their bet. That's maybe the best way to think of it. Okay? All right. What a show. Very different for today, but kind of fun at the same time. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Going to take a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.